Welcome to another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast, a production of the Criminal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School in Charlottesville, Virginia. Every 2 weeks, we release a new episode. Today, we're going to have a conversation about a recent opinion from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Please note that these episodes may contain facts and circumstances surrounding criminal trials. Listener discretion is advised.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable United States Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces is now open and in session. God save the United States of America in this honorable court.
Welcome to another edition of ADC Calf Chats. I am Major James Barrett, and today I've got with me Major Kathy Hartsfield, our SVC portfolio holder. Kathy, how are you doing today?
Hi, James. Good to be
here. And today also I've got a brand new member of the ADC department, the discovery portfolio holder, Major Lynn Rivera. Lynn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, James. Thanks for having me here.
Excellent. All right. So the reason why we have so many here today is because we're going to be talking about HVZ versus the United States. That was argued on 5 December 2023 and decided on July 18th, 2024. The reason why I have so many portfolio holders here with me today is because HVC touches on a lot of things. They touch upon writ standards of review for appellate purposes. They touch on the MRE 513 for mental health records, and they talk about discovery obligations under 701 and 703. Kathy, why don't you go ahead and get us started on what prompted this case coming up through the system?
Sure. So this case started back in January 2023 when the convening authority referred multiple charges and specifications against the accused, Tech Sergeant Michael Fuel, to include two specifications of sexual assault, two specifications of domestic violence, and two specifications of wrongful use of a controlled substance. In April 2023, the defense counsel filed a motion to compel discovery of approximately 20 years of HVZ, the victim in the case, of her mental and medical health records, which were not protected by psychotherapist and patient privilege and family advocacy program, otherwise known as FAP records. The government's response didn't oppose the production of the non-privileged FAP records and medical records relevant to the charged offenses. The government then instead just only opposed the production of HVZ's medical and mental health records from prior to the earliest date of the alleged offense against HVZ.
Now, the government didn't oppose, but somebody else opposed.
That's right. So neither party here actually requested an oral argument, but HVZ, through her Special Victims Counsel, or SVC, filed a response brief opposing the accused motion to compel, arguing that the production of the records would violate her rights under HIPAA and Article 6B. If the government provided the records without the required showing under RCM 703 and HIPAA.
And the MJ did what with the motion from the SVC?
So the military judge actually did not consider the SVC's motion, noted that he had received the SVC's motion, but said that HVZ didn't have standing before the trial court. Thus, he didn't consider her written response.
And what was his reasoning for why he didn't want to think that the SVC had standing in this situation?
So the trial judge was looking at HVZ's standing under Article 6B, which specifically lists out, let me go back, that's Article 6B(a)(4), which says that the victim has a right to be reasonably heard at three types of hearings: a pretrial confinement hearing, a sentencing hearing, and a clemency and parole board hearing. Because we were at the trial level, the military judge said there's no standing here. Plus, the defense counsel was seeking non-privileged medical and mental health records.
So the military judge said that there was no standing in this case. How did he analyze the discovery issue, Lynn?
James, that's a great question. Here we're talking about RCM 701. And the defense filed a motion to compel production of medical records. And as Kathy noted, within those records, there were non-privileged materials within the mental records, or what we like to refer to as post-Millett records. And as you remember, in U.S. v. Millett, 81 MJ 681, the court determined that there's a presumption that diagnoses and treatments contained within medical records are not themselves privileged under MRE 513. And in a case like that, what happens is you have this intersection of 513 and 701. And if those records, there's a presumption they're not privileged under MRE 513, we're then going to move and do an analysis under RCM 701. And that is exactly what the judge did here, James.
And this might be a little cart before the horse, as they say, but what's the I don't want to call it dumbed down version, but what's the dumbed down version difference between 701 and 703?
Okay, so for 701, RCM 701A2A allows the defense to inspect any books, papers, documents, data, or copies of portions of these items. The important thing that we have to note is these items have to be in possession, custody, or control of military authorities.
And Kathy, where are these records located that we're trying to get?
They were at the military treatment facility.
Okay. So the defense is arguing that these are in possession of the government. It appears that the judge is analyzing them under the possession of the government?
That is correct. The analysis was done under RCM 701. However, here HBC's argument is that was the wrong rule. We should have done this under RCM 703, which has a different standard.
And RCM 703, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not in possession of the government.
That is correct. So RCM 701, we're looking at possession, custody and control of military authorities. And the standard for that is whether or not the records are relevant to defense preparation. And as you can expect, the burden is lower. Now, when we move to RCM 703, the production rules, now the standard is whether or not those records are relevant and necessary, because we're dealing with records that are not in the possession of military authorities.
And at the end of the day here, Kathy, the military judge said that this military treatment facility, those records are in the possession of the government?
So the military judge said here that the records are maintained by the 56th Medical Group located at Luke Air Force Base, and essentially that is in the control of military authorities.
And so military judge makes his ruling, and then what happens next?
So after the judge issues the order directing the 56th Medical Group to provide the MRE 513 non-privileged materials and to work with a medical law attorney to review and ensure that none of the privileged materials are given over to the government. After that, the victim here filed a writ under Article 6B.
And it's important to note, too, that victim did a few things that are incumbent upon parties when they file, not parties, but individuals who file writs with the CCAs, is they also ask for an immediate stay. Unlike a Article 62 appeal in which grants that immediate stay once notice is given, that's not the case here. But AFCA went ahead and granted the automatic stay and took up the issue. Now, AFCA ultimately agreed with the military judge. One of the issues that the TJAC certified to the CAF talks about what standard review to review the victim's writ at the CCA. And here, AFCA went ahead and followed Hassan versus Gross, in which we established the writ standard of no other adequate means of relief. Issuance of writ is clear and indisputable, and issuance is appropriate under the circumstances. And from there, the TJAG, Navy TJAG, went ahead and certified the four issues all the way to the CAF. And Kathy, you want to fill us in on what those four issues were?
Yeah, so the first issue here is, did the military judge err when he determined that HVZ's DOD health record was in the possession, custody, or control of military authorities pursuant to RCM 701, as Lynn discussed? And then two, did the military judge err when he did not consider HVZ's written objection to production of her DOD health record, as he found she did not have standing nor right to be heard? And then third, whether HVZ has to show that the military judge clearly and indisputably erred for the writ to issue under Article 6BE, or should the ordinary standards of appellate review apply? And then finally, whether CAF should issue a writ of mandamus.
And so CAF goes ahead and takes these in turn. But Lynn, how did CAF review the discovery issue here?
The discovery issue was analyzed under RCM 701, and the dispute came down to the interpretation of military authorities and whether or not that wording that we have in RCM 701 could be interpreted or construed as including military treatment facilities. Now, because, as you mentioned, the standard of review here, what the CAF ended up ruling here was the fact that the judge did not clearly and indisputably err in finding that a medical treatment facility located on an Air Force base was a military authority for purposes of discovery. And in doing that, a couple things were looked at: the fact that it was on post, it was a military treatment facility, that it had a military commander, and that the main function of this treatment facility was to help and treat service members, family members, and also retirees.
Thank you, Lynn. And what about the standing, Kathy? Where are we at on standing?
Yeah, so on the standing issue, HVZ here made a couple of arguments here, and I'll go over those arguments because they're important to understand the dissent. So the arguments first, she said, hey, the records are not in the possession, custody, or control of the government. So 703G3C2I grants her the right to oppose the accused discovery motion and to move for relief, right? So RCM 703G is talking about subpoenas for personal or confidential information about a victim, and that the victim has to be given notice so that the victim can move for relief. So she said first, hey, I've got standing under 703. Then she said, alternatively, if 703 doesn't apply, then Article 6B(a)(9), the right to be treated with fairness and respect for the dignity and privacy of the victim, grants her the right to be heard on the defense's motion. And then third, she said, hey, general blanket principles of fairness and due process grants her this right of standing.
And how does the CAF dispose of those arguments?
Right. So interestingly, CAF said, we don't actually find a ruling on these particular arguments. We don't have to address these arguments because there's a much clearer way to show that the military judge clearly and indisputably erred by finding HVZ didn't have standing. And what they did is they looked at MRE 513E.
And can you tell me a little bit more? You said a cleaner version of MRE 513. What does the CAF do with that?
Yeah, so CAF looked to the language of MRE 513E, which is the procedure to determine admissibility of patient records or communications. And MRE 513E1 states, in any case in which the production or admission of records or communication of a patient other than the accused is in dispute, then a party may seek an interlocutory ruling by the military judge. 513E1 then lays out that procedure, which requires the moving party to file a written motion at least 5 days before entry of pleas and serving the motion on the opposing party and notifying the patient that the patient has an opportunity to be heard.
And so this really boils down to a difference in 513A, and the language used there, and the language used in 513E.
Right. So CAF looked back to Millett and reiterated their holding there. So even if the patient's medical records are not privileged under MRE 513A, the communication, let's say, wasn't made for the purpose of facilitating diagnosis or treatment of the patient's medical condition, even if they aren't privileged, the production or admission of those records are still subject to the procedural requirements of MRE 513E.
It's the difference between records and confidential records.
Right.
Okay. And that's what ACCA, the CAF says the military judge erred in doing, correct?
Right, because MRE 513E2 states that before a military judge orders the production or admission of that evidence, the military judge must conduct a close hearing and that the patient must be afforded a reasonable opportunity to attend the hearing and be heard.
And then from a discovery perspective, it is important to know that there is a process, and that's what I was mentioning earlier. The fact that you determine that something might not be privileged under 513, you still have to look at what is the process for the discovery of that information.
No, that's a great point, Lynn. Thank you. And this is all under the, we'll say, overlay of the heightened writ standard. And that was one of the first issues that we talked about. And I'll cover that here briefly. So essentially, you've got the CVRA out there. Kathy, what's the CVRA?
That's the Crime Victim Rights Act, and that's essentially the federal version of Article 6B.
Okay, and the CVRA allows for normal appellate standards of review when a victim files a writ or other appeal for a military judge's order. Here, no such allowance has been made within the RCMs or within the statutory scheme, which this is all overlaid, particularly if you look at like Article 62, which is normal appellate standards. So here, the CAF goes back and says, hey, listen, we know that Congress means what they say and that they know the law when they pass these statutes. And two things were in play when these Article 6B writs were passed. Two, the CVR already existed, so they knew that they could adjust the standard review. And two, the court had already ruled in Hassan versus Gross in 2012 that the writ standard in the military is going to be that three-prong test that we talked about. The no other adequate means of relief, issuance of a writ is clear and indisputable, and issuance is appropriate under the circumstances. And so because that's where we're at, that's the way they look at the how the CCA should be viewing writs under 6B. And that's really kind of why we don't get a question about whether, or get an answer, I'm sorry, to the question about whether the military treatment facility is in the possession of the government, because that's up for reasonable debate. And a reasonable debate is not a clear and indisputable right. And so that's kind of where we're left with. And so what does the CAF end up doing here ultimately?
CAF remanded the case back to AFCA then to decide whether HVZ should prevail on the writ of mandamus.
All right. So definitely a lot of different things going on in this case. Either of you want some final words on the case?
Sure. I just want to reiterate that nothing in this opinion should be construed as interpreting that 56 Medical Group is a military authority for purposes of RCM 701A2A. And as James stated, we still don't have the answer to that question, whether or not a medical treatment facility is part of military authorities. That is something that we expect to see more litigation in that area of the law. As I mentioned before, intersection of 513 and RCM 701. Also, I just want to say that takeaways for the field, James, both sides should identify discovery issues and discuss their position with the SBC early on, because these cases can take a long time. And if there's a dispute between discovery or things that they might think could be discoverable, it could take a long time and it could evolve as it did in this case.
Thanks for that rundown, Lynn and Kathy. You mentioned earlier, not to bring us back into the case a little bit, but you mentioned the dissent a little bit from Judge Maggs. What was Judge Maggs' point he brought up in dissent?
Yeah, so Judge Maggs brings up an interesting point going back to that clear and indisputable right to a writ. But as I mentioned earlier, HVZ made several arguments, but the court's ruling ultimately was based on MRE 513E2, which the victim never even brought up. And so Judge Maggs in his dissent said, hey, HVZ didn't show that MRE 513E2 itself gave her a clear and indisputable right to a writ. She never made that argument before AFCA or CAF, so she didn't preserve that argument.
And that's a pretty, I wouldn't say common appellate issue, but the general idea for the field out there is that if you don't make the argument to the judge, we're not going to let you come up with something that the judge never was able to consider to try to persuade the appellate courts to rule for you. And it kind of makes sense if you just step back and think about it for a little bit. But no, that's a very good point. Thank you.
James, where is this case right now?
So it's my understanding that Kathy, you have the answer to that question.
So the case then got remanded back to AFCA, and AFCA then said, okay, we are going to grant the writ. And then basically the case proceeded back to the military judge to hold a hearing on the motion to compel, with the victim presenting argument on her objections.
So a lot of things going on in this case. MRE 513 still, we'll say, far from clear for everybody, but I think this case is a good example of making sure that you're just following the rule, taking a step back, and making sure that you're running through the right procedures and processes. Because I think most of the early litigation involving 513 had to do with following the procedures for the production. And a lot of people got tripped up there. And here we are in 2024, and that's kind of still going on. But to accentuate the point on how this is so complicated is I have a military judge and three judges at AFCA saying HVZ doesn't have standing. And I've got four judges at CAF saying that she does, via 513. So far from not complicated. So everybody just continue to do your level head best and just kind of work through these issues together. So with that said, we'll go ahead and sign off for this edition of the CAF Chats. presented by ADC. I want to thank Major Hartsfield and Major Rivera for coming in to share their talents with us today, and would ask that everybody in the field continue to subscribe and let us know if there's anything we can do for you. Thank you.
Thank you, James. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast. If anything you heard sparked a thought, we'd love to connect with you. Your comments help us create better future content for the field or the fleet. Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode. The views expressed in today's podcast are those of the presenters and not necessarily the Judge Advocate General or the Department of the Army or the Department of Defense.
Thanks, counsel, for both sides. And the court will stand in recess until further order of the court.